Hey, it's Marilyn Smith welcoming you to version 6.1 of Rockin' Around the Track. It's a cool, crisp October morning in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a request, 773-572-7744, leave a message. Or leave it at the beginning of your return tape. We're putting a piece of masking tape next to your name on the return card so that we can tell whether it's Listener's Choice, the country music magazine my husband does, or Rockin' Around the Track, coming back to us, because you might just send us a dollar in order to keep the tape, or send back a blank tape, which leaves us not knowing whose mag has come back. Now, if you're getting this online, that won't be a problem. If you want it online, www.bluegrasspals.com. Those of you who want to hear the whole Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train, or who have requested other songs, be patient. We'll get to it. You know how the best laid plans, etc., etc.? Well, side one is going to be Ray Charles' interview by Ralph Emery, plus some music. That was originally supposed to be side two of a different issue of Rockin' Around the Track. But for one reason or another, that didn't happen. So it's side one now. Roger, my husband, is doing side two this time, and it's wonderful songs from the mid-80s. Talk about some great music. Enjoy. Ray started out bluesy, sort of imitating Nat King Cole in a combo type band. Then he migrated with, what did I say, to big time rock. Then he moved into country to do a couple of albums. And then he sort of played the field for the rest of his musical career, tinkering at all genres. And they even did a ballet toward the end of his career featuring some of his music. He thought that was pretty unusual. We'll start out with one of his bluesier songs, then go to What Did I Say, both parts of it, then one of my favorites, Hit the Road, Jack. Then we'll play the interview. After that, we'll feature I Can't Stop Loving You, which is talked about extensively on the interview since it was done from Ralph Emery's country perspective. I'm going to try to find the song Baby Grand, which he did with Billy Joel, both fantastic keyboard guys. I'm going to feature a song that made a pretty good splash in country in the mid-80s that Ray did with Willie Nelson called Seven Spanish Angels. It's very unusual. I think it's worth hearing if you haven't heard it before. If you haven't seen the movie, Ray, I recommend it. It's video described, and Ray had his Raylettes, Ike Turner had his Ikeettes. The whole story comes out about his substance abuse and everything, and it's a good movie.
I know you told me such a long time ago. You didn't want me, you didn't love me no more. I wanna know, oh, what makes me be. Do you believe me, child, I'm a fool for you? Oh, wake up in the morning
just about to break a day. Reach over and feel a pillow, where your baby used to lay. Then you put on your crown, like you never cried before. Oh Lord, yeah, you leave it crying so loud. You'll give the blues to your neighbor next door. Ever since you were 5 years old, baby, I've been a fool for you, little girl. Way down in my soul, I'm a little fool for you. So I know it's something. Oh, Lord, yeah, I'm a fool for you.
See the girl with
that song. She can do the Birdland all night long. Yeah, yeah. What I say? All right. Well, tell me what I say. Yeah. Tell me what I say right now. Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say right now. Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say. Yeah. And I wanna know. What's that? What's that? What time? All right.
We're visiting with Ray Charles, who is our special guest star of the week. I want you to talk to me about I Can't Stop Loving You. Sing the song, children.
Yes, right.
Now, I'm kind of curious about where you picked up on Don Gibson's song in the first place.
Well, you know when you hear something. I'm one of those kind of people that it's very emotional, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's the truth. And songs do things to me. Music, I should say, do things to me. And when I decided to do the first country album, I let it be known, of course, to ABC, which is the time, the company I was on, and they let it be known, and maybe that's a better way of putting it, that I was going to do this country album after we decided that it was all right. I discussed it with them, and after they decided, well, you know, if it don't kill your career, and if you know, and they said, all right, go ahead and do it. Well, I asked them to let it, you know, to get me some songs for me to listen to. So they, I guess, talked to the various publishing companies, and then songs were sent to me, and I start to go through songs, and I must have went through what, maybe 200 or 250 songs. It's unreal. But in those songs, I found this song of Don Gibson, I Can't Stop Loving You. And you know, what's fascinating about that song, in my mind, is that although I like the song as such, but you know what attracted me to that song was two lines. I can't stop loving you. I made up my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, I'm not saying the rest of the song is no good, but I'm saying those two lines was what they call the hook.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that snatched me, that made me say, ah, there's a lot of people feel like that. You know, you done everything to me. Everything that you can possibly do to me, but I can't stop loving you. A lot of people feel like that.
That's well put. You can walk on me, but I still...
I can't stop it. And that's what attracted me to that.
Ray, I'm kind of interested in a story I found out about you.
Uh-oh.
The scene is Tampa, Florida. Okay?
Yes, sir.
You with me?
Yep.
The Florida Playboys.
Yeah. There we go. Yep.
Who were the Florida Playboys?
The Florida Playboy was a hillbilly group or a country group, or you see, I get confused as to know how to describe it. But it was a group of musicians that play country music, and what happened was that one of the musicians, worked at a record shop that I would frequent, and of course I couldn't buy anything to have any money, but I would go there because I liked it. They had pianos and all the instruments, and I could go there and touch them and fool around with them, and nobody would throw me out or something. And so since I could play the piano, the guy took a liking to me. And so one day he said, you know, R.C., and this is what they called me in those days. He said,
R.C.?
R.C.? That's it. Oh. Not the cola, of course, but that's because of Ray Charles, I guess. But anyway, they say, R.C., you know, our pianist is ill, and since you can play, you know, how would you like to come out and make the gig? So, you know, naturally, if you're hungry, boom, right? Let's go. So we went out the first night. And I enjoy myself, and so the guy says, you want to come back tomorrow night? And this is the way it happened. I feel kind of embarrassed to say, you take a guy's job, you know, if he's not feeling well. But it was not my decision to make. I was just working. This is how I got with the Florida Playboys. And the good thing about them is that, you know, they work all the time. You know, every night they would be working. So we got to play a lot of little small clubs, you know, real tiny little clubs, but it was work. You know, you make $10-$15 a night.
When are we talking about?
This is like 1947, 48.
Right after the war, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were a youngster.
17 years old, 16, 17 years old.
What like did you? Did they allow you to sing in addition to play?
Oh, yeah. That's where I learned to yodel.
Come on.
I'm serious. No, really. I don't want to really make you embarrass you, but I'm in a serious way. If I was put to it, I think I'm a pretty good yodeler, honestly. I mean real yodel. Right now I'm just clowning, but if you. You know how they do in the Swiss Alps? You know, you heard some of the guys yodel there? I can do that kind of yodeling, really.
Ray, I can recall I've been around this business a long time, and I can recall in the early 50s when Nat King Cole came south with his shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at a time when this country was in turmoil, and he had some problems appearing in the South. I wondered if that ever happened to you.
No, sir. It never happened to me in that because when Nat Cole came, so he was in a different type of market because when Nat Cole came south, he was involved in the populist, so-called, or the pop feel, meaning that he had a lot of white clientele, and so therefore a lot of his audience was white. I became, if you want to call it a star, an artist, I prefer to say, in the black community. So the places I played primarily were black, so I didn't run into. The only problems I had was just the normal ones, you know, like when you got to go to the bathroom, you can't. If you want to eat, you can't.
Right.
Little small things like that, but nothing where somebody wanted to come out and do something to me because maybe somebody ran up on the stage and tried to hug my neck or something. I didn't run into that.
Did you had to stay in certain hotels too? Did
that,
you?
That's right. Well, it was either hotels or what they call rooming houses, or you know. More
but
or less.
They would not let you stay in the finer.
Oh no, that was no such thing as going to the Hilton, if that's what you mean, or in the Sheraton, or any place like that.
When do you recall when this began to change?
Yeah, I think it started to make some difference where you could notice it somewhere around 1960 or 61 or 2, somewhere in there. It started to get a little better. I would think that it really began to get all right, although this may shock some people, but I don't think it really started to get halfway all right where you wouldn't be afraid. You know, there's such a thing as doing something. Somebody can allow you to do something, but if they got a threat over your head that you might be killed if you do, then you're kind of hesitant. So I would say that really, it didn't really get to the point where you could really go any place you want or walk in a restaurant like you want without fear until maybe 1964 or 65.
That late.
Now, I know that seems unbelievable, but I'm telling you the truth.
Did you get your feelings hurt a lot?
Yeah, I can't say I've gotten my feelings hurt a lot because that's not really true. I think that when I look at my life overall, I have to say that I've had my feelings hurt just enough to teach me.
Our engineer, Mike Bohan, said, I got a question.
All right.
He said, ask Ray if he does the Maxwell House coffee commercial.
Now, you see, that's an unfair question because I'm not supposed to say yes, but if I don't say yes, then I'm a liar.
So
you got it?
I got it.
All right.
I'll never tell.
Okay, thank you.
Do you do one for Wendy's?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Just...
Do you do a lot of commercials?
No. I don't do a lot because I don't... First of all, I don't think that's... I don't think it's right, frankly. I mean for me now, not for other people. I'm only talking about for me. I like to do, just stick within something that I can deal with. And I want to feel good about it. And of course, products that you really can feel good about just don't come along that often. I have to tell you a little quick story, and I won't mention the product, but I had an offer to do a product that paid me quite a bit more money than the product that we were just talking about. I turned down only because of the I felt that the reputation and the feeling that I had and the people I was dealing with. See, that's always important, man. Yeah, I've gotten to the point where, man, I don't gauge everything in my life by how much money I can make, you know. Not that I'm fabulously rich, but just because I feel that it, what's important to me now is contentment in my life. That's it.
Ray, why do you not tell people that you do the Maxwell House commercial?
Well,
and also, why don't they on the commercial say, here is Ray Charles?
Well, because I don't want them to.
Okay.
And number one. And number two is because I think the one thing the Maxwell House people were nice enough to do with me, and that is they discussed things with me. And I appreciate that. And our thing was is that I felt that, look, if I don't want to sound too egotistical, but it's a truism. I think that if Sinatra opened his mouth, you would pretty much know.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I say something, you kind of pretty much know. You know, I don't know. I just think that, you know. So we thought that for the people who didn't know, let it be a mystery.
I think everybody did know, Ray. Mike in there had a question. He's holding it up on a piece of paper.
All right.
He was wondering how you remember all the lyrics to the songs.
It ain't easy. But what you do is you can't remember every lyric to every song that you've sung. Nobody can do that, I don't think. At least I know I can't. But what you do is that the songs that you're going to be getting into, naturally you get those lyrics. Now, if I have to learn a song or have to go back to a song that I haven't been doing and I've forgotten, then you do like you do what they call a refresher course. You go back and you, or let's say that, for instance, I'm going to do, say, a film, and let's say they want to do, in that film, they want to do 3-4 times, but they want to use the record and just have me pantomime. But then you wouldn't believe it, but I would really have to study that record, just like a person would have to go back to school, because I have to go back and try to relearn and everything that I've done. See, I could sing 3-4 times, you know, tonight, but it wouldn't be exactly the same. When I say exactly the same way, I mean the feeling and everything else would be there. But, you know, a note here, a note there would be, because you're singing according to feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing, what you try to do, if you can't remember all the lyrics to a song, you take a refresher course and you go back and get the tape. Thank God for tape, you know.
Have you got a Braille writer? Do you?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I guess you could write it down then.
Yes, I can write down lyrics or write music or write anything. I generally, the only time I write lyrics is when I first, if I decide I'm going to do a song, if I'm going to record it or going to sing it on stage, I'll write the lyrics down just so I can sort of look at them and get a picture of the lyrics in my mind. But once I do that, I don't refer to them anymore after that.
Have you been blind since birth?
About, no. I lost my eyesight when I was about 7. I started to lose it at the age of 5, and then it took about 2 years to finish the job, something like that.
Ray, I appreciate very much your being on our show.
Is
I
that
really
so?
Do.
Well, I'm so happy that you allowed me the opportunity. I appreciate it myself.
I have admired you for a long time, and I've played a lot of your records.
Well, don't stop now. Hey, man. they said, just keep it up.
I love your way with a song.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you very much, man. We really appreciate it.
Made up my mind to live in memory of the lonesome time. I can't stop wanting you. It's useless to say, so I'll just live my life in dreams of yesterday. Those happy hours
that we once knew. Though long ago, it still made me blue. They say that time heals a broken heart, but time has stood still since we've been apart. So I'll just live my life in dreams of yesterday. So I'll just live my life of dreams of yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
When it's dark and cold, I'll reach out for someone to hold. When I'm blue, when I'm lonely, she comes through. She's the only one who can. My baby grand is all I. In my time, I've wandered everywhere around this world. She would always be there any day, any hour. All it takes is the power in my hands. This baby grand's been good to me.
All right.
come far from the life I strayed,
and I've got the scars from those dives I played in.
Now I'm home and I'm weary,
and in my bones coming home with me,
ever since this gig began, my baby grand's been good to me.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through,
the whole day
just through. An old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in the peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you. I said, Georgia, oh, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you. Whoa. Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia,
I said, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him, whispered, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
She reached down and picked the gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, Father, please forgive me. I can't make it without my man. And she knew the gun was empty, and she knew she couldn't win. But her final prayer was answered when the rifles fired again. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. All right, y'all, help me now.
There were seven Spanish angels
at the altar.
At the altar.